He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It's the first day of the second half of 2021. You're listening to Bill Gunderson, professional money manager. This is the Best Stocks Now show. Right now, the Best Stocks Now, I've looked at a lot of charts here so far this morning. And it's all about the oil sector today. The oil sector. I think OPEC meets today. And they're talking about, a controlled upping of the output of oil production. That's bullish for oil. Oil is above $75 per barrel right now. The Dow is up 79 points to 34,581. It is moving back towards its all-time high. The S&P 500 is above 4,300 for the first time in its history. It's up 12. And that is a new all-time high at 4,310, which was pretty much the target price for the S&P for the end of this year. And here we are halfway into the year. We're already there. Where do we go from here? Well, we talk about that all the time here on the show. The NASDAQ, nothing going on. I looked at the NASDAQ 100, nothing going on there. And NVIDIA is the really only one of the few bright spots there. The NASDAQ is up 6 points today, but it is hitting a new all-time high, I want to say, 14,510. The small caps up just a little bit today. It's mostly the oil stocks in that small cap index. Crude is up 250 per barrel today, 75. Now, just in time for the 4th of July driving weekend. Wait till you fill up that SUV on today or tomorrow. Gold is up 860, and there is some action in the bond pits today. I don't think they have pits, but the bond market up a couple of ticks today to 1.45, and Bitcoin down $1,200 today. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson on this first day of the second half of 2021. And what a half it's been. I mean, just looking back, we had quite a interest rate spike and shock, really. Shock and awe, I guess, back in February. And that really took down the high-flying momentum technology stocks. And in some cases, not just technology, but the high flyers, the high growth, the ultra, the really, really super high growth stocks, Tesla included there, and other, battery chargers stocks and Bitcoin miners, etc. They took about a 35% hit. Let's just say they lost a third of the value back in February and March, and the market, with that big spike in interest rates, made a huge shift to lower PE. I've talked about this, ad nauseum, some might say. But it was a very much of a huge shift in the market, which we have not seen for a long, long time, shifting away from the high tech, from the momentum, to kind of the low tech, I suppose, the low price to sales, the low price to earnings, the low book value stocks. And with that spike in interest rate, it pushed money into the banks and the financials. Now that move's cooled off here recently because interest rates have come back down. We're still under 1.50. We're up just a few basis points today, and I don't know if that's what's causing the NASDAQ to just really stand still here today. And it has had a pretty good run here for the last 6 weeks or so. After that big spike in interest rates, February and March, and a big inflation scare You know, we saw lumber prices, we saw wheat prices, soybean prices, corn prices, copper prices, you name it. It was soaring, and that has obviously calmed down too quite a bit here recently. I see that lumber prices, biggest drop in 24 years or something like that, but they're coming down from a very elevated level. We also obviously saw a huge spike in Bitcoin, which hit 65,000 back in February, March. Well, it's lost half. It's lost half of its value since then, 33,610 today. It's down 1,160 points. The shine has definitely come off of the Bitcoin. And one reason I mentioned yesterday, the big snubbing of Bitcoin by institutional investors, you know, they're the ones that really move asset classes, like an elephant getting into a bathtub. You know, there's not a lot of liquidity there in Bitcoin, and these big institutions come in, but they're shunning Bitcoin for now and not really participating, and that has put some pressure on it. It's at 33,610, losing half of its value. And then, of course, the really high-tech funds. Let's see, where is ARK from its all-time high? Now, it has made up some of that loss. It hit 160 in February, ARKK, 160, and now it's at 130. So it has regained, but it went from 160 to 97. Ouch. You got to have a stomach for that kind of volatility. Not everybody does. Other people are able to just say, ah, it's okay, I'll buy some more at this level. When it goes from 160 clear down to 97, that is about a 30% drop. And now it's back up to 130, so it's had a 30% gain off the low. But it's still about, 20% off of its high. Now the big question is, obviously, as we begin a new year and turn the page on, or not a new year, new second half of the year, where do we go from here? What will be the dominant themes in the second half of 2021? Well, that's all I can tell you is the themes that are in place right now seem to kind of be a mix. The tech stocks, you know, they have their good days, and then they have a lot of really dead or slightly down days. So I still think there's room for tech, absolutely, in your portfolio, but I would watch those valuations. And I think there's still room for the other end, the total opposite side of the street, which is the commodity types of stocks, the basic material stocks. I'm seeing pretty good action in the fertilizer stocks today, in the copper, Freeport-McMoRan having a good day, CF Industries, which is a fertilizer stock, having a good day, and, of course, the energy patch. You know, look, the trend is there right now. The trend is your friend, and that still seems to be a good place to be. The financials and the banks have really cooled off. However, if interest rates start to rise again, and that does seem to be the course of least resistance from, you know, what I can see, as long as we remain under 1.5, that's kind of surprising, really. I thought we'd be headed towards 2 by now, maybe up in the 1.9 area. That has not happened. The Fed continues to buy in that area to keep interest rates low. They're a little worried about inflation and rising rates. They saw the impact that it had on the markets back in February, so they continue to use their firepower, their balance sheet, to keep rates low. Well, the NASDAQ is hitting another new all-time high today. The S&P 500 hit a new high yesterday. The Dow had a really good day yesterday. It was the reflation trade. Okay, that's another theme we've seen. One day it's reflation stocks, which are more of the industrials and the basic materials and construction and boring things like that. And then the next day it's the tech stocks. So it seems to me like a mixture. And of course, oil now above $75 per barrel. That seems to fit in portfolios right now. Bitcoin continues to struggle. I have no exposure. I am seeing signs of life in the Chinese stocks. NIO, the car, electric EV car maker, really impressed yesterday. And there's some action, too, in the consumer cyclicals, okay? The retail stocks, which are on the receiving end of a lot of that stimulus money that went out. I noticed a big jump for Walmart yesterday. I don't own Walmart, but I do own some other consumer cyclicals. And last but not least, we got the jobless claims today. That came in really good. Only 364,000. That's down from 411,000 last week, and it beat the consensus by 395. And I guess you could say that's why Dow up today, but NASDAQ flat. This is Bill Gunnarsson. We'll get into more details when we come back. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show and the second half of 2021, and it's one of those days. Dow up almost 100 now, NASDAQ down about 10 points right now. Well, the job market remains extremely hot, extremely strong. There is a backlog of so many different things, whether it's clothing, whether it's food, whether it's things for your car. I had a crack in my windshield of my car, called the dealer. Oh, they're on back order, those windshields. You're just going to have to drive with that big giant crack in your windshield and hope the windshield doesn't fall out on your next trip to Home Depot. You know, it's like back ordered for 3 months or something like that. You can't get a tire fixed right now. There's a huge labor shortage right now. Job cuts fall to the lowest monthly total in 21 years. Only 20,476. It's interesting being here. You know, one thing about baseball, we get to visit some cities now that we don't live in San Diego anymore. We had season tickets there for several years. But now that we live on the opposite coast, we like to travel to some of these key games, these key series in some of these cities that we honestly have never been to. I've never been to Cincinnati before. And it's interesting. I mean, the history and the Ohio River and the companies that are here, this is the home to Procter & Gamble. And the employment picture, I've talked to some people, is very robust right here. If you need a job, there's no problem finding a job in Cincinnati. But that job challenger jobs cut report, 20,476, it's 88% lower than June of last year. Well, that should come as no surprise. COVID has cooled off quite a bit. But that was the lowest monthly total in 20 years. Wow. Chicago PMI slips to 66.1. Well, okay. Those are, you know, those numbers bounce around quite a bit. But, you know, I do notice that in some areas there is a little bit of a slowdown. We saw that last month in the non-farm payrolls report. It wasn't quite as robust as we thought it would be. That's why tomorrow's employment report will be very watched. You know, I guarantee you one person who will be watching it, Jerome Powell at the Fed. Janet Yellen, the Secretary of the Treasury, and, of course, hedge fund managers and money managers investors. They'll all be watching that non-farm payrolls report. We had a pretty good report on Wednesday, the ADP, which is the precursor to the non-farm payrolls report. So we'll see how it comes in tomorrow. pending home sales surge in May to the highest reading since 2005. I guess that's good for you real estate salesmen out there. Good job. May pending home sales plus 8% month over month. The highest reading since 2005. Well, one thing that's helped is interest rates have come back down. And that 30-year mortgage really close to 3%, maybe even under a little bit. Inventory low. Affordability becoming more of an issue. But, of course, interest rates a big factor in that affordable or not affordable month, that easy monthly payment, right, made to your local friendly bank. Crude inventory draw tops estimates. Now, there's another big indicator. I think it's vacation travel. I don't know if it's people going to work, business travel. That has picked up considerably. A lot of people returning to work from their living room, the pajama economy, the slippers economy, moving into more of a, business suit and wingtips and business dresses and whatnot, pantsuits, whatever. You've got people going back to work, but there's a lot of people vacationing again. We've talked to a lot of people and seen a lot of people. The airport, the ball games here, the hotel, and they're all from out of town, and they're visiting, and they're traveling, and they're enjoying America and vacationing once again. I was reading that one of the airlines is going to offer double pay this weekend, double pay. I think it was Southwest. So they don't have any shortages because of all the people that are going to be traveling this weekend. We're going to be traveling tomorrow. I bet the airport's going to be jam-packed. Not too bad. I mean, the Cincinnati airport's pretty laid back. So is the Charleston airport. It's that Atlanta stopover. There's your busiest airport in the world. Wow, that thing is huge. Crude inventory. And that's one of the reasons you're seeing oil above $75 a barrel again. It was below zero. It was negative. Look how far oil has come. We should have been all over oil and oil stocks when it went negative price a little over a year ago. Well, here's another company leaving that Eastern Seaboard, home of high taxes, to the home of low taxes, Dun & Bradstreet, moving its headquarters to Jacksonville, Florida. And we, our show, the Best Stocks Now show, will soon be heard Monday through Friday in Jacksonville, Florida. Dun & Bradstreet, okay, they're not like a $100 billion company, but they've been around. They're pretty well-known, big company out of New Jersey, moving to Jacksonville, Florida, along with about half of New Jersey. Okay, when I was headed down to Sarasota, I decided to drive, enjoy a little scenery and landscape of America and this kind of thing. And I saw a lot of license plates from Jersey, New York, Virginia. Those three, by far, most license plates I saw headed for Florida. Okay, and a lot of them pulling U-Hauls or, you know, with a mattress tied onto the roof of the station wagon, things like this. Corn, soybeans, did you notice that yesterday? I did. I look at a lot of charts, and I saw huge spikes in corn and soybeans and wheat. And that is based on a lower-than-forecast U.S. plantings this year. They're not planting as much. Well, if you turn down the spigot on oil, what happens? Prices go up. OPEC's known to do that from time to time. And farmers, I don't think they're knowingly doing it. They're just not planting as much. And that's creating a huge spike in these commodity prices, corn, soybeans, and wheat. And we're seeing the agricultural stocks on the move again. AGCO, Nutrien, Mosaic, CF Industries. We'll keep an eye on that. There's also a pretty fierce drought out west in California. You know, that San Joaquin Valley is pretty important. Supplies a lot of produce to the rest of the country. Severe drought in California. How much did the Nevada casinos take from gamblers in May? Well, let's put it this way. The gamblers didn't win. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. It's all about the oil sector. It's the oil patch and the fertilizer stocks today. Luckily, we have some exposure to both of those sectors. So we're up a little today, but, you know, it looks like 4th of July light in the markets. I know Tuesday the SPY ETF, which is the S&P 500, had its lowest volume day of the year. People are traveling. There's no question about it. Vacations are popular right now. Nevada casinos took in $1 billion. Now, this is wins, all right, from the gamblers. Nevada casinos recorded a gaming win tally of $1.2 billion in May. That's why they give you the 99-cent breakfast and the buffets, you know, to get you in there, cheap rates here and there. Not like they used to. I mean, it used to be there were deals everywhere. But now there's more demand for the high-end stuff on that Las Vegas Strip. Well, the casinos record a gaming win tally of $1.23 billion. That's just during the month of May. What was the biggest winning percentage? Well, the slot machines, they brought in $840 million. That's a 7.1% take from the gamblers, the money put through the machines. But the card games, they were the biggest. 16.3% off of the gamblers, and basketball was the biggest winner for the Nevada sportsbooks with an $11.4 million win for the month. Well, now, look, there's individuals, obviously, that did well during the month of May, but the casinos do well every month. That's the bottom line. Larry Summer says the economy is on a problematic course. Okay, now Larry Summers is very much a Democrat. He's a Harvard economist. He's the former Treasury Secretary under, I want to say, Bill Clinton. That'd be Bill Clinton. He said Tuesday that the U.S. economy is on a problematic course with authorities pumping liquidity into a system during a time when labor markets are tight. That is very unusual. Very, very unusual. You know what? It's driving wages higher, however. You know, they're getting past that $15 minimum wage that they want very easily just through this demand-supply equation. I saw a sign for restaurant managers. They're paying like $25, $30 per hour at restaurants right now to get some management help, and they're paying bonuses, you know, sign-on bonuses. Well, Larry Summers is at the Qatar Economic Forum, and he was doing an interview on Bloomberg. He compared the current economy to a car driving 100 miles an hour down an empty road, but warned that the road won't always be empty. He questions the wisdom of extraordinarily low interest rates and extraordinarily big budget deficits. Boy, amen to that. I wrote about that in my newsletter last week, during a time of an epic degree of labor shortage. He says there's going to be an accident. He says, I don't know what form the accident will come, but when you're driving 100 miles an hour, it's probably not actually the fastest way to get to where you're going because you're likely to have some kind of dislocation. Well, he's calling on the Fed. And he's calling on, you know, trying to decrease those budget deficits. He advocated a change in policy focus to pay more attention to the risk posed by high liquidity and the potential of asset bubbles. Well, we've seen many asset bubbles here in the year 2021, haven't we? We saw an asset bubble earlier this year. I called it speculation. That was a tremendous asset bubble, and it burst in March with about a 35% hit to the high flyers. The SPAC market took a big hit. I've seen the SPAC action, though, start to pick up again here recently. I've seen several SPACs. This has been a very, very busy week for IPOs. I'm going to talk about a few. We saw the Uber of China go public yesterday. And, of course, let's not forget Krispy Kreme donuts, hotter than the grease they're fried in. I don't know. We'll see. It's going public today. But we also saw an asset bubble in the digital currencies, in my opinion. You've seen them cut in half. What were all those folks not working at the restaurants doing while they were receiving their unemployment checks at home? Looks like they were playing Bitcoin and SPACs and the Wall Street bets, buying GameStop, huge asset bubble there. Well, we've taken some of the air out of that asset bubble, but at the same time, you've got the S&P 500 now trading at a P.E. ratio over 30. That hasn't happened in a long time. And the forward P.E. ratio of the S&P 500 is 22.7. What's the long-term average? 16 to 17. We're at 22.7, but the reason why it's trading at such a high multiple is because of such high interest or such low interest rates. However, you saw what kind of shock. You know, interest rates did not go up that much in February and March, but on a relative basis they did. That caused a 35% sell-off in the NASDAQ, or the high, not the NASDAQ, but the high growth stocks. We will get another spike in interest rates. So, like I've been saying, I would have a diversified portfolio right now, one that benefits from higher interest rates, one that benefits from lower interest rates to hedge each other's, action in the interest rate markets. The thing I would be hedged against the most right now would be another spike in interest rates. And that's what's happening here, according to Larry Summers. I saw another article on Seeking Alpha about the slowing growth. Yeah, you know, we'll see about that. We'll see about the slowing growth. Tomorrow's going to be a big indicator. That's why tomorrow's so important, that jobs report, because if you get slowing growth in the economy, that's why you saw the big three-day sell-off after the last Fed announcement. I think they were worried, investors were worried about stagflation, which is slowing growth accompanied by inflation. That's what happened during the 70s. We saw a wicked sell-off in the reflation stocks for 3 days, and then, you know, cooler heads prevailed. But there are some cross currents here where you've got to be, you got to have a professional like me watching over your money, right? Well, you know what? I'm just saying, this is not an easy market. You have seen so many changes. Look, we went from last year, go, 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 momentum, momentum, momentum. You had a very quick rotation. I've never seen such a quick rotation out of that area of the market into the value stocks. It was a wicked rotation. And if you didn't see it coming, you got caught for a 25 to 35% sell-off. Now, we didn't get caught in that. I got the heck out of the way of that freight train. Okay, and then you had a big run in the value reflation stocks, and then that came to an end for a week or about a week when the Fed last week. And then you had the interest rates come back down. You've seen a rally in the tech stocks, the high growth stocks, after that 35% correction. It's enough to make your head spin. And I just think that the best way to go right now, I certainly wouldn't have 100% high growth like we did last year. It served us well last year. Nor would I have 100% low PE reflation stocks. I would have a little bit of both right now. And the key is really going to be interest rates and, you know, the growth in the economy, those two. Will we get stagflation? Will we get inflation? Will we get reflation? That's what we're all watching right now. And doing the best we can to maneuver through kind of a minefield if you're not careful. Robinhood hit with a record $70 million penalty by FINRA over outages. And, you know, some of what happened during that whole GameStop. Well, you know what? Robinhood was kind of the vehicle that the Wall Street Bets guys used the most to run up that GameStop. And remember, they had to halt trading in GameStop, and you had all of those problems, and you had margin calls, and you had hedge funds, you know, extended too far in margin. You saw a couple hedge funds melt down. Well, Robinhood's going to pay $70 million. Eh, no big deal. They're going to go public here fairly shortly. They'll get it back from the retail investors buying the stock on that IPO. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show on this first day of the site. Well, the quarter ended yesterday. Okay, that's important. Every 3 months we go through a ritual on Wall Street. It's called earnings season. And I'm just going to look real quickly what we're expecting here. For this quarter, I want to say 61%. Let me make sure that's the number. 62.8%. So, this quarter is now ended. And we're going to compare this quarter with the same comparable quarter last year, which was heavily influenced by COVID. I mean, the economy was basically shut down, well, you know, in a lot of areas. So the estimated earnings growth rate for the S&P 500 this quarter, 62.8%. This will be the highest earnings growth quarter since Q4 2009. Revenue growth, okay, that's earnings growth. Revenue growth for Q2 is expected to be 19.5%. versus Q1 of 2020. And, of course, the S&P 500 forward P.E. ratio is now 22.7. The five-year average is 17.7. It also should be noted that the S&P 500 P.E. ratio hit 30 last week. For all of 2021, analysts are now projecting earnings growth of 35.2. That's pretty good. But again, you're comparing it against an extraordinary event in 2020, and we're looking for revenue growth this year of 12.3. Now, looking ahead to 2022, we're projecting earnings growth not of 35.2 again. It's going to slow down, but it's still going to be 11.8%. And revenue growth of about, you know, more normal 5 or 6. And that macro outlook in the newsletter, I can't tell you how important that is. I've been right since 2009 when I went all in March of 2009. With my macro outlook call, that's the most important section of the newsletter every single week. I made a big adjustment to it last week. And there's been some activity in my portfolios. There's going to be some more. I told my subscribers and my clients on the air yesterday that I was going to be busy in the market. I was, right up until the close of the market yesterday, wheeling and dealing. Actually, I made a big sell yesterday, and I'll be looking to redeploy that today. Who will the winning stock be of the beauty pageant that I hold on my chart screen every single day? They've got to meet all of those criteria, you know. I'm pretty strict. Got to meet the valuation criteria. Got to meet the momentum criteria. slash performance criteria, which reflects on the management of the company, and got to meet a very nice stock chart. I'm going to feature a stock today that I owned last year. I don't currently own it, but I'm watching the Chinese stocks out of the corner of my eye. NIO has been especially strong lately. I like the upgrade yesterday that I saw by a major firm on NIO, upping its target price, I think, to $75 or something like that, $73 per share. It's currently at $53. NIO reported some really good numbers as far as sales growth over the last week. You know, I would say NIO, is it the Tesla of China? There's more competition in China. There's NIO, there's Li Auto, there's Boyd. I can't think of the other one right now, but there's another bit, NIU, that's it, NIU, N-I-U. So there's a lot of big players in China. The electric vehicles seem to be going a lot faster in China, growth, than they are here in the U.S. But NIO's June deliveries rose 20.4%, up 116% from last year. So that's pretty good growth. NIO is not profitable yet. Tesla obviously turned profitable a few years back. They went for many years without being profitable. But NIO is basically going to break even next year. NIO is an $84 billion market cap company. And I'm just looking at their sales growth. Listen to their most recent four quarters. The quarter ended March, that's Q1. They will be reporting Q2 in August. Their sales were up 529%. The quarter before that, their sales were up 149%. The quarter before that, 159%. And the quarter before that, 140%. That is red hot sales growth. The stock is up almost 600% over the last 12 months. Yet it's pulled back considerably. It lost half its value during that sell-off, and I'm glad I sold my NIO when I did. We wrote up NIO. You can read our article on NIO on Seeking Alpha. We backed off of that call when the stock broke below its 50-day moving average. We sold our NIO. NIO went from 67 down to 30. Ouch. We did not write it down. Then it started forming a number one sideways pattern, consolidation pattern, and then now it's in a very strong number two uptrend, and it broke out last Friday, I think it was. So anyways, NIO is currently ranked number 268 out of 5,861. It gets an A-, Gunderson overall stock grade, which is a buy, and we'll make NIO our featured stock of the day. Well, I'll be working on that newsletter, updating the portfolios. We're going to make a couple of big buys today. There's no question about it. And I'll be updating my macro picture as we're right on the cusp of earnings season here. That macro picture is critical. Without that, you know, you can be the best stock picker around, but not if you don't have the market behind you, you're in trouble. You can get 2 free weeks of the newsletter. I put my heart and soul into that thing. I basically spend a lot of Thursday, a lot of Friday, and even into Saturday before I send that thing out. Been doing it for 21 years. You go to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com, and look at the results. Look at the performance. Look where we're ranked overall on TipRanks, which is an independent ranking company of bloggers and analysts, etc. Go to GundersonCapital.com to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter. And if you said, you know what, I'm ready to put this team to work for me, call us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or get the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.